I am a grateful recovering addict. My name is Lavoris.
Hey, Lavoris.
Now, because we decided to make this a double speaker meeting, I'm going to be real brief. The bottom line is our message is hope that any addict, I don't care who you are, where you come from, how you get here, why you here. They told me you don't ever have to come again, even if you want to. You know, now I don't know exactly where I'm going to go with my message tonight. I just know that, you know what, I'm glad to be here. You know, like this program has been working for me. You know, it's like, and sometimes, guess what? I just show up. I don't do nothing. Sometimes I don't worry about how I look. I know when I need to get to it. I'm going to tell you just a little bit about me because I'm originally from Brooklyn. I am an only child. And I remember at 7, I was sipping, just like these water bottles, and they used to be cups with shape and all kinds of whatever it was, I was sipping. You know, I used to think when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't really have a story. You know, I lived a decent life. You know, the family wasn't dysfunctional. You know, my mother had passed away and my grandmother raised me. I had aunts and uncles and, I mean, it was good. I went to school. I did what I was supposed to do. You know, I was trying to do some other things, but you know what? My grandmother would be like, you better get your butt up in here. So I couldn't go but so far. Matter of fact, it was funny. I shared with somebody, and I never shared this out loud, but they laughed at me. They was like, you couldn't even sell stuff. You couldn't even sell your body. I tried. The police like, you don't even look like you need to be out here. We going to call your mom. You know, and they called my grandmother. She was like, you don't need to do that. You know, do the right thing. And let me tell you, as soon as I graduated from high school in Brooklyn, New York, she got me a one-way ticket and shipped me off. So I had an opportunity to do some things with my life. You know, I went to college. I served 8.5 years in the military. You know what? And I was a sailor. Guess what? I drank, like I said, all up under the table. You know, and then before the party over, I'm trying to be on top of the table. I mean, but that's what I did. And you know what? I was happy in drink, as the English would say. You know, I had an opportunity to live in England. I lived in Italy. I lived in Greece. I mean, I did some things with my life. But let me tell you, I was fired up in the process. Stayed high. Didn't want to deal. Didn't want to feel. I just wanted to have a good time. You know, when I didn't realize that I could have a good time being clean. I didn't know about being clean. I didn't get an opportunity to go to treatment. There was nobody in my family that got clean. Uncle Frankie was an addict. He shot dope in his neck, his feet, his wherever. And all I know is he was in the bathroom for a real, real long time. That's all I know about an addict. You know, that uncle, he was the addict in the family. All the aunts that smoked crack ran the street, we just tried to make sure everybody was okay. You know, to keep grandma from sitting out in the window all night long. You know, but again, when I got here, I realized that, you know what, it wasn't half as bad. You know, my life really wasn't that bad. You know, I had all the things that I needed. You know, I didn't have to want for nothing. But I just could not stop using for some reason. And I remember I first sipped at 7, was 79 right out of high, I'm basing, 1979, right out of high school. But I did make it to college, and I was able to do some things. But let me tell you, every time I would wind up right back where I started from. You know? So I do my little military time, but when I come home on leave, if I got 30 days, hey, I can get in. 30 days, I can get it about my system by then. You know, so I justified, I rationalized. I mean, I like using. I'm not going to stay here and tell you I didn't like getting high and I needed to be here. Oh, no, not me. Moi. At any rate, you know, I remember I served in the military and got out and got the good job and was living large. I had the car, the house, the dog, the man, the whole nine. And guess what? It wasn't working. And one day I decided, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm going to Florida. Yeah, I got an uncle down here somewhere. I don't know where he at. I'm going to find him. I dials up, calls his ex-wife, say, I'm coming to Florida. You might know. Come on down. I got the truck, drove it by myself with my car in the back, and I said, I'm going to Florida. I just wanted something different. I still ain't know nothing about treatment. I just knew I'm going to be in a different place. They talking about drug capital. I ain't got nothing to do with that. I ain't going to get no drugs. Let me tell you, I got here. Lo and behold, I found the uncle who was a drug dealer in Pompano. Right back where I started at, you know? And he had no idea. He used to, matter of fact, what he was giving me, I'm getting mad. What the hell? What is this? This ain't even, it wasn't worth my time, my energy. You know, I was working on a temp job, and I stopped by Pompano on my way to Hollywood, and I'd be just mad, you know? And then I got to get them jits on a bike to come and bring me some more, and then they want to be in my house, and I'm like, I got a roommate. I'm peeking out trying to get him out, you know? But I said all of that to say that, you know what, using was like, I was by myself. You know, I was never like in a base house. And I felt like I worked hard and that was my money. And I can get high if I wanted to get high. I still went to work. You know, I did what I was supposed to do. I made sure the rent was paid. I did the cash advances on the credit card. And hey, I worried. That's my money. I paid them later. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, you know, and I feel today like sometimes I, you know, part of my story, I used to say I didn't live to use and use to live. But the bottom line is I couldn't stop and stay stopped. You know, I go on a wagon, or I wouldn't use this week or this month maybe. But damn, next thing you know, I'm right back to square one. And I remember my last run like it was yesterday. I have not forgotten it. You know, the picture's clear in my mind. And I remember being in the corner, on the floor, with the phone book, calling, dialing, anybody, somebody help me. And the woman said, can you get to a meet? What's that? I got cute, put on a short suit, you know, was hoping she would meet me there, but she couldn't. And she sent me to this meeting, and I showed up. And I remember my seat. That was my home group for the first 5 years of my recovery. They gave me phone numbers. One of the guys gave me a basic text, and he autographed it. And I remember when he gave it to me, I'm like, oh, yeah, he just want my phone number. Uh-huh. You know, I'm thinking, you know, it's all about me because, you know, I'm the newcomer. And, you know, and I heard that. And let me tell you, because I'm going to tell you a little bit about her, too, because I had 6 months clean. And let me tell you, at 6 months clean, I was doing service. I had the keys to the church. I had to pick up the guy to make the coffee. I had the money. I went to area the whole nine. Because this woman broke her leg. She said, we need you. I was like, okay. And let me tell you, from day to day, I was like, that meeting is not till Sunday. I cannot get high. It's a treatment center. The coffee pot was much bigger than that. And I was too scared to use. Because I wouldn't have made it to that meeting. And what was those addicts, those people going to do if they didn't have no coffee? Let me tell you, that kept me clean. And I saw that woman, and I remember, I was like, hey, your leg ain't broke no more. When you coming back to the meeting? She was like, oh, you're doing just fine. I heard all about you. I'm ready to get a resentment. That meeting kept me clean. I kept coming. I didn't want to let them down. I didn't want to let me down. This was my first go round. And let me tell you, they told me it was so much easier for me to just stay clean than to keep trying to get clean. So I was like, okay. So let me tell you, and I don't say it to brag or boast, but I picked up that one white key tag, and let me tell you, I have found it necessary, but I have chosen not to use on a daily basis. You know, and she's one of the reasons. 6 months when I was doing that service, there was a convention, and I'm doing my service, because you know I got this Sunday, I got to be there. I don't care about convention. I makes my commitments. And somebody brought her in to speak. And this woman sponsored me for a long time. And currently, she's not my sponsor, but any given day, she's liable to be my sponsor. You know what I mean? She has taken me through the steps. She has guided me. She has supported me, encouraged me. You know, and that's what I've gotten from Narcotics Anonymous. The women, I got some powerful women in my life. You know? And no matter what happens, they love me in spite of me. You know, they helped me. You know, I remember calling her a lot of times, be like, well, I don't want to make a decision. You know, some people ain't got time. Let me tell you, it ain't like, things are changing in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, because she ain't got time for me to be sitting on the phone whining, crying, complaining, and you don't understand, and he did this and did this. She was like, okay, so what you going to do? And one day she told me I had a choice. And she probably said that like 20 times, because y'all know that one suggestion about the relationship. Man, they ain't know what they was talking about. This man, at 2 months clean, I went to my first convention, and he said it was God's will for us to be together. Yeah. Y'all feel me? You know what I mean? And she said, you know, she'll say something like, okay, keep coming back. I was off to the races. I had to pack my stuff, and I had to move in, and oh, man, it was on, you know, because he was going to keep me clean. You know, he got like 9 years, and I'm trying to get 9 months. You know, but that day when she said I had choices, it's like a light came on. But you know what? I wasn't ready until I was I had to go through everything I had to go through to get the way I was going. So I've been through the relationships. You know, since I've been in recovery, I have battled cancer. I've had chemo. I have been castrated. And I just had surgery last week. And I ain't using. I had a bilateral mastectomy. I had to be reconstructed. And I had to realize that, you know what? My breasts didn't make me who I am. I just got some new ones. and I keep coming back. That's my message. No matter what, if I had to put my butt in a little bag, well, whatever size it is now, I take it to a meeting and I share about it. And I try to share about the exact nature. I mind my business. I try not to gossip. But let me tell you, it's not easy. Because riding up, you know, I'm like, hey, hi, so-and-so. You seen so-and-so? You got to be real careful. You know, I'm here to get better. I'm not here to stay sick. I saw one of them meetings in the list that say sick, so sick, so. I wouldn't even want to go there. I ain't sick. I'm getting better. I'm on the road to recovery. I'm doing the damn thing. I don't care what nobody else say. But if I keep saying I'm sick, guess what? I'm going to be sick. I am well. By his stripes, I am healed. I'm too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. So what I got to do? I got to work these steps. I ain't here just to be abstinent. Somebody said recently, why did you come to a 12-step program? You ain't going to work the 12-step. Damn. Answers are here. I know the answers is there. And let me tell you, I don't sit home every night, go home, kind of like, what? No, I ain't all of that. Sometime in the beginning, it was like homework. Matter of fact, somebody says, oh, I remember when you was new, you was going to do steps. You said you was going to the library. So, whatever works for me, you know. But the bottom line is, I don't got to use. You know, I just lost my dad. I mean, stuff is happening. I just don't use. I go to a meeting. I call somebody. I get outside of myself. And you know what? I do so many things for so many others. Someone said to me recently, Lavoris, you are not Miss Save-A-Lot. I didn't know that. I'm so busy trying to save a hole, you know? Lavoris, to the rescue! You know, and actually that happened recently. And it's sad. I felt so bad. Because let me say, when somebody called me, hey, what's the solution? Okay, let's do it. That's who I am. I'm results driven. I like to make things happen. You know, between me and my higher power, we can come together and we can get the solution and we can make some, come on, we can do this. Anybody, I think if I can stay clean, anybody can stay clean. And I got a call recently and I took a person to treatment. You know, and I felt good about that. But guess what? The next morning, she was out. She called me and told me she was going to whip my behind. And you know what? I was like, okay. And you know what? People like that I pray for. I was only trying to help. So now I'm realizing I'm really not Miss Save-A-Lot. You know, and I ain't here to get my behind whipped. You know? But we all on different pages at different times. We all recover at different rates. Even me, sometimes I want to be somewhere else doing some other things. And you know what? I realize I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I ain't got to be all these other places. Let me tell you, I ran and my recovery stemmed from like Orlando to Dade. I mean, when I was new, let me tell you, I knew social acceptability equals recovery. Okay? I had to be at every function, the convention. Y'all couldn't have no convention if I wasn't there. What you talking about? Oh, I just wanted to be all over. And you know why? That's because of my enthusiasm for this program. That's all it was. I was excited. Yeah, we're doing things and going places, and I just wanted to be a part of it. I just wanted to stay clean a day at a time. That's it. You know, I didn't think things would happen beyond my wildest dreams. You know, I just got back from Vegas, and you know what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, so I can't even go there. But I am here to tell you that my life is just, I'm blessed. You know, I have good days. I have bad days. I got a call from my doctor today. I'm thinking, I don't even really want to know what she's talking about. You know, I've been diagnosed with fibromyalgia. And then they said I have rheumatoid. I got things to do, places to go, and people to see. Now, unless I tell myself I got these things, as far as I'm concerned, I ain't got all of that. You know, I was at a meeting today, and all I heard was the Oxycontin and the pills and the Woo-wee! I'm like, thank you, God. You know, because I'm still on Tylenol. I can do a Tylenol, and I'm scraped. Oh, no, I'll be all right. You know, I remember having hysterectomy coming home with no prescription. Okay? So, anything's possible. You know, if I pray, you know, if I try to sit still long enough to meditate, you know, if I turn some stuff over, if I just sometimes get out the way, sit down somewhere, you know, I'm okay. You know, but I had to want this. They told me, oh, you ain't gonna get, you gotta want it. A lot of folk out there need it. And believe me, there's some folk I know personally, I wish they had a program, but they don't. guess what? That means I got to work minds. And I can, you know, sometimes I remember praying, God, if you can't help them, help me to be able to better deal with them. And that's what I do. I keep people in my prayer. I pray for them what I want for myself in spite of what they've done to me. I have been used and abused in this program. And you know what? I just can't stop helping the next person. No, this is what I'm here. I got a purpose. Guess what? We all got a purpose. And if you don't know what it is, just keep coming back. More and more will be revealed to you. You know? And I believe a part of my purpose is just to give hope. I'm a breast cancer survivor. You know how many women have said to me, oh, I think I need a mammogram. Yeah, I think you do too. Either you go get them squished in a little machine or you can get them cut off. That's your choice. But if you make the appointment and you want me to go with you, I'll go with you. Those are the things that I do today to help that next woman. You know, there's so many things we can do. And sometimes, you know what? It's just loving each other in spite of. Just because she ain't, you know, we may not be, that person don't look or dress like we want to. You know, we come in here with the Daisy Dukes and all of that stuff. That's okay. No, that's where we're at when we first get here. All I knew was how to dress up the outside. But I needed time. I had to give time, time. And time stands for things I must earn. T-I-M-E. Things I must earn. None of this stuff was given to me. I had to work for this. But no matter what, I keep coming back. And I do it one day at a time. It might be an hour at a time, depending on where I'm at and what I'm going through. You know? And me, sometimes now I think, oh, I'm single. How the hell can I be single? Okay? But you know what? That's my reality. And that's what I'm learning. No matter what's going on, if I stay in reality and I see my situation or this person or this thing just as it is, I'm all right. And that's what you call acceptance. When I can see it and be okay with it. No matter what, if I find myself in a jackpot, I'm going to pick up a book, I'm going to do something, I'm going to call somebody, and I'm going to be okay. And I want to read this one thing. At my home group, which is the Breakfast Club, we meet Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. at Mount Olive Church in Fort Lauderdale. And before we introduce our speaker, we read this last chapter, right before step one, this last paragraph, I'm sorry. It says, as a result of attending a few meetings, we begin to feel like we finally belong somewhere. It is in these meetings that we are introduced to the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. We learn to work the steps in the order that they are written and to use them on a daily basis. The steps are our solution. They are our survival kit. They are our defense against addiction, which is a deadly disease. Our steps are the principles that make our recovery possible. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.